Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us.
Yes, welcome back.
Today, we're going to be looking at some really interesting insights, I think, from a recent lecture that we listened to on the Book of Colossians, chapter 4 this time.
Yeah.
We've got Dr. Daniel Darko's take on Paul's closing remarks in his letter to the Colossians. And there's a lot to unpack here.
There is.
Get ready for some surprising details about prayer and time management and even a little ancient tattoo controversy.
A little controversy.
We'll also get to know some lesser known figures from early Christian history. You might be surprised at who pops up.
What's really interesting here is how Dr. Darko emphasizes prayer in Paul's letter.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we can easily overlook.
Yeah.
When we think about Paul, you know, we often focus on his big theological ideas like
that's so true.
Justification by faith, or
I always think about Romans and Galatians.
Right, exactly.
When I think about Paul's big ideas, but prayer, not so much.
Yeah, but Dr. Darko points out how Paul actually bookends this letter with prayer. He starts with it and ends with it.
Mm.
And if we think about it, this actually mirrors Jesus' own practice.
Oh, interesting.
He frequently turned to prayer, especially when facing challenges and difficulties.
Okay, so I see where you're going with this. So it's not just about Paul, like, saying a quick prayer before he signs off on the letter. It's more about this idea of prayer as a constant companion, a lifeline to God in the midst of all the ups and downs of
Exactly. Dr. Darko suggests that this constant connection with God through prayer is maybe even more important than some of the other weighty doctrines that Paul tackles. It's about a relationship with God.
That's a really interesting point. And it actually makes me wonder, like, how often do I make time for that kind of intentional prayer in my own life?
That's a good question for all of us.
Yeah.
Consider. And it leads us to another point, that Dr. Darko raises the importance of approaching prayer with a grateful heart.
Oh, yeah. I can see how those two go hand in hand if you're constantly focused on what you lack or what's wrong or what you're missing out on. It's hard to connect with God.
It is. And Dr. Darko contrasts gratitude with feelings of entitlement and grumpiness.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but grumpiness
doesn't
exactly put me in a prayerful mood.
Yeah.
He suggests that gratitude is essential for inner peace and harmony.
Yeah.
Both within ourselves and in our relationships.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But I guess to play devil's advocate for a second, like, isn't it hard to be grateful when you're going through a really tough time?
Yeah.
Like, what about Paul herself? He's writing this letter from prison.
That's a great point.
You know.
And it leads right into what Dr. Darko calls Paul's prison priorities.
Okay.
You know, we might assume that Paul's biggest concern would be getting out of prison.
Right, yeah.
Right, but his primary prayer request is something else entirely.
Don't tell me he's asking for better prison food.
Not quite. Paul asks for doors to open for the gospel, even while he's in chains. It shows his unwavering commitment to his mission.
Yeah.
Even in the face of adversity.
Yeah, it really makes it think.
It does.
You know, if I were in Paul's sandals, I'm not sure. My first thought would be, like, how can I spread the gospel? I'd probably be a little more focused on just getting out of this place.
Right. And that's exactly the challenge that Dr. Darko throws out to us. Mm. What would our prayer request be in a similar situation?
Yeah.
It forces us to examine our own priorities, doesn't it?
It really does.
So we've got prayer as a constant practice rooted in gratitude, even in the midst of difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Really powerful stuff. But Dr. Darko doesn't stop there. He goes on to explore Paul's concluding advice to the Colossian church. And these admonitions are surprisingly relevant to us today.
Absolutely. They're not just abstract theological concepts.
Yeah.
They're practical tips for living a life that reflects Christ.
Okay. I'm all ears. Let's hear what Paul has to say about navigating life in the first century and how it applies to us in the 21st.
Let's do it. Sounds good. So first up, we have Paul's advice on wisdom.
Okay.
Specifically, how to live wisely in a world where not everyone shares our beliefs.
Right.
And Dr. Darko uses a really interesting modern day example to illustrate this point.
Oh, yeah. You mean the tattoo story?
Yes.
The one about the bride-to-be and her mother.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So this bride is getting ready for her wedding and she goes dress shopping with her mother.
Uh-huh.
But things get a little tense because of the bride's tattoos.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that part. And Dr. Darko's point was that even though tattoos are a personal choice,
right,
they can sometimes create conflict, especially with people from a different generation or background.
Exactly. It's not about whether tattoos are right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that our choices, even seemingly personal ones, can impact our relationships.
Right.
And our ability to share our faith with others.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's about being mindful of how our actions might be perceived by those who don't share our worldview.
Right. And this leads us to Paul's next piece of advice.
Okay.
Time.
Okay.
He urges the Colossians to buy out the time, emphasizing the value of every opportunity. And Dr. Darko even suggests that God might judge us based on how we used our time.
Wow, that's a sobering thought.
It is.
I know I'm guilty of wasting time on things that don't really matter.
Yeah.
He brought up African time, didn't he?
He did.
To kind of drive home this point.
He talked about how in some cultures, being on time is a more flexible concept.
Yeah.
But his point wasn't to poke fun at different cultures.
Right.
It was to highlight how we often let precious time slip away without even realizing it.
So are we supposed to be like super productive every minute of the day?
Right.
No Netflix allowed.
I don't think it's about becoming productivity robots.
Okay.
It's more about being intentional with our time.
Right.
Making sure we're investing it in things that align with our values.
Yeah.
And our purpose.
Okay. That feels a lot more doable than no Netflix ever.
Right.
So we've got wisdom and time. What's the last piece of advice that Paul gives to the Colossians?
He talks about the importance of speech, specifically using words that build others up.
Okay.
He describes this kind of speech as gracious and salty.
Salty speech.
Seasoned with grace and truth.
That's an interesting way to put it, right?
And Dr. Darko connects this back to Jesus' teaching about being the salt of the earth.
Mm.
Our words should have flavor.
Right.
They should add something positive to the world rather than just blending in with the negativity that's already out there.
So it's not about being bland or sugarcoating things.
Right.
It's about speaking truth, but doing it with grace and compassion.
That's a great way to summarize it.
Yeah.
It's about using our words to encourage, to inspire, and to point people towards truth in a way that's both compelling and winsome.
I love that. So we've got wisdom, time, and speech, three powerful pieces of advice that are just as relevant today as they were back in Paul's time.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Paul's time, Dr. Darko also introduces us to some of the key individuals that are mentioned in these closing verses of Colossians. It's like getting a glimpse into the lives of these early Christians who are working alongside Paul.
It's like a behind-the-scenes look at the early church.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell me more about these folks. Who do we meet?
Well, first up is Tychicus.
Okay.
Who Dr. Darko describes as a trusted messenger.
Hmm.
He was the one entrusted with delivering this letter to the Colossians.
Okay.
And it seems that he played a significant role in Paul's ministry.
So not just a mailman.
Right.
But like a key player in spreading the gospel.
Exactly. And Dr. Darko points out how Paul goes out of his way to commend Tychicus.
Yeah.
Calling him a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord.
It's like Paul's giving him a glowing performance review right there in the letter.
He is.
It shows how much he valued Tychicus's loyalty and dedication.
It does. And it reminds us that sometimes the most important work happens behind the scenes. You know, we don't all need to be in the spotlight.
That's a good reminder for me. Okay, who else is in this lineup of early Christian heroes?
Well, next we have Onesimus.
Onesimus.
Dr. Darko doesn't go into a lot of detail here, but he mentions that Onesimus is the subject of another letter, Philemon.
Okay.
And promises to delve deeper into his story later in the series.
Ooh, that sounds intriguing.
It is.
I'm definitely going to have to tune in for that one. What little hints does Dr. Darko give us?
He just says that Onesimus' story is one of forgiveness and redemption.
Okay.
And that it offers a powerful example of the transformative power of the gospel.
Okay, now I'm really curious. Anyone else we need to know about?
Well, Paul also mentions a whole bunch of other companions, including Aristarchus Mark, and even Luke, the doctor.
Wait, the very same?
The one who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing to think that these figures that we read about in the Bible were real people who lived and worked alongside Paul.
It is.
And there's one more person that Dr. Darko highlights.
Yeah, Epaphras, the founder of the Colossian church.
That's right.
And I'm guessing he's not just mentioned in passing what's so special about Epaphras.
Paul specifically points out Epaphras's dedication to prayer.
Okay.
Describing him as wrestling in prayer for the Colossian believers.
Mm.
It paints this picture of someone who is deeply invested in the spiritual well-being of this church.
Wrestling in prayer, that's a powerful image.
It is.
It shows how seriously Epaphras took his role as an intercessor for the Colossian church. It makes prayer sound less like a passive activity and more like a spiritual battle.
Exactly. And I think that's a great takeaway for us.
Yeah.
Prayer isn't just about reciting words.
Right.
It's about engaging with God on a deep level, pouring out our hearts, and interceding for others with passion and fervency.
So we've gone from prayer to wise living to meeting this incredible cast of characters from the early church.
Yes.
It feels like we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
Where does Dr. Darko take us from here?
Well, he shifts gears a bit in the final section of his lecture, where he dives into some intriguing details about the circulation of Paul's letters.
Mm.
He even talks about the mystery of a lost letter from Laodicea.
Okay. This sounds like a good place to pause, and we'll pick back up in part three.
Okay.
But before we do, what's the one thing you think listeners should take away from this section?
I think the biggest takeaway is the power of community. You know, whether it's Tychicus faithfully delivering messages, or Epaphras wrestling in prayer.
Yeah.
Or even the seemingly ordinary believers in Colossae and Laodicea.
Hmm.
We see that the Christian faith isn't meant to be lived in isolation.
Yeah.
We need each other to encourage, support, and challenge each other as we seek to follow Christ.
Okay, we're back, and I am ready to hear more about this lost letter from Laodicea.
Yes, it is very interesting.
This sounds like something straight out of a Dan Brown novel, like The Da Vinci Code or something.
It does have a bit of a mysterious air, doesn't it?
It really does.
So if you remember, Paul asked the Colossians to share his letter with the church in Laodicea.
Right, yeah, like a letter swap.
Yes, and he also mentions a letter from Laodicea that they should read.
Right, but the thing is, we don't have any record of this letter in the Bible.
We don't.
What happened to it?
That's the million-dollar question. Scholars have been debating this for centuries.
Wow.
Some people believe it was lost to history, while others think it might be a letter that we already have, just under a different name.
Oh, so like maybe Ephesians or one of the other letters attributed to Paul.
Exactly.
That's a really interesting thought.
And Dr. Darko even throws out the possibility that it could be a letter that was never meant to be part of the biblical canon.
Oh.
Maybe it dealt with some very specific local issues that weren't really relevant to the wider church.
Like a first century church bulletin board?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So regardless of what happened to this Laodicean letter,
yeah.
Dr. Darko uses this whole discussion to segue into the question of authorship.
Oh, yeah. The ever-present debate about whether Paul actually wrote all the letters attributed to him?
Exactly. And in the case of Colossians, Dr. Darko comes down firmly on the side of Pauline authorship.
Mm.
He argues that the personal details, the intimate knowledge of people and places, all point to Paul as the genuine author.
So he's not buying the theory that some unknown scribe just wrote this letter in Paul's name?
Not at all. He points out that it would have been incredibly difficult to fabricate a letter with so many verifiable connections to real people and events.
Yeah.
Especially in a time when travel and communication were so slow.
I can see his point there. It's like trying to create a fake social media account today and pretending to be someone you're not.
Exactly.
Sooner or later, you're going to get caught out.
That's right.
So if we accept Paul's authorship, what's the big takeaway from Colossians? What's the message Dr. Darko wants us to remember?
Well, he keeps circling back to this idea of a Christ-centered life.
Okay.
He reminds us that this letter was written to combat false teachings that were creeping into the Colossian church.
Right.
Paul's whole point is to ground them and us in the truth of who Christ is and what he has done for us.
And he doesn't just leave it at that, right? He gives us this whole set of practical guidelines for how to live out that Christ-centered life.
Yes, things like prayer, gratitude-wise living.
Using our time well.
Right, speaking words that build others up.
Exactly.
Dr. Darko presents these virtues as essential building blocks for a life that truly reflects Christ.
So it's not just about believing the right things, it's about putting those beliefs into action.
That's it, walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
I like that.
And Dr. Darko emphasizes that these virtues should spill over into every area of our lives.
Yeah.
Our personal relationships, our work, the way we engage with the world around us.
Well, it's not about being super spiritual and private and then ignoring those principles in our everyday interactions with others.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's about letting Christ's love and grace permeate everything we do, how we treat others,
yeah,
how we handle conflict, how we use our resources, everything.
Wow, that's a challenging but also inspiring vision of what the Christian life can look like.
It is, and Dr. Darko doesn't shy away from the fact that it is a challenge.
Yeah.
He ends his lecture with this call to action, urging us to cultivate these virtues in our own lives.
Oh, okay.
And to let them shape the way we think, speak, and act.
It's like he's saying, don't just sit here and listen to this lecture, go out and live it.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I don't know about you, but this deep dive has given me a lot to think about, from the importance of prayer and gratitude to the challenge of living wisely in a complex world. There's so much here to unpack and apply to our own lives.
I agree, and I think it's fitting that Dr. Darko ends by highlighting the power of community, reminding us that we're not meant to walk this journey alone.
Mm.
We need each other to encourage, support, and hold each other accountable as we seek to follow Christ.
And speaking of journeys, we're going to be diving into a very specific one next time, the story of Onesimus, as revealed in the book of Philemon.
Yes, get ready for some unexpected twists and turns as we explore themes of forgiveness, redemption, and the radical power of the gospel to transform lives.
So until next time, keep thinking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.
And don't forget to ponder this question.
Yes, what does all of this mean for you? How can you apply Paul's teachings on prayer, gratitude, and wise living to your own unique journey?
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.